3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Waycross at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. And for you to do that, right after the brief monologue, our telephone lines are open. You can dial 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today what I believe perhaps one of the most imperative subjects or issues that we could speak on. We're speaking today about the issue of what is true biblical Christianity. What is true biblical Christianity? We have a world today that's filled with what is called Christian cults. We have a world filled today with denominational dogma. We have multitudes today that are following after what one writer calls a Christless Christianity. In fact, in the book entitled Christless Christianity by Michael Horton, let me just read to you by way of part of my monologue introduction today. On page 15 in the book, Horton writes, "It's easy to become distracted from Christ as the only hope for sinners, where everything is measured by our happiness rather than by God's holiness. The sense of our being a sinner becomes secondary, if not even offensive. If we are good people who have lost our way, but with proper instruction and enough motivation, we can become better persons. We need only a life coach, not a redeemer. We can still give our assent to a high view of Christ and the centrality of the person and work of Christ, but in actual practice, we're being distracted from looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." Hebrews 12:2. A lot of things that distract us from Christ these days are even good things. In order to push us off point, all Satan has to do is throw several spiritual fads, moral, political crusades, and other relevant operations into our field of vision, focusing the conversation on us, our desires, our needs, our feelings, our experiences, our activities, our aspirations, our happiness, and our energies. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that summarizes what we're talking about today when we ask the question, what is true biblical Christianity? I believe we are finding today a multitude that are following another gospel, a different gospel, a different Jesus. We need to be very careful. In today's world, ladies and gentlemen, millions claim to be Christian. Our society, I believe, is in a seriously divided condition over political issues, social issues, medical issues, academic, educational issues. But the question is, who or what is biblical Christianity? Christians are not just those that say with a head knowledge, "I believe God." So we're going to talk about that today on this broadcast. We invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. What are your questions about true biblical Christianity? We have a lot of churches across America today. I call them the pop-up churches with pop-up preachers with cotton candy theology and goosebump theology, voodoo theology. Multitudes are saying some good things that make people happy. Some of the pop-up music make you tap your foot rather than changing your heart. We're going to talk about some of the issues that come to the forefront in relationship to the question, what is true biblical Christianity? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, I want us to understand we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So may I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very careful how we handle truth. The word of God is the truth book. It's the truth of the Lord that endures forever. And if God said it, that settles it, whether we understand it or not. There are multitudes today that want to mitigate against, argue against, and somehow stand against some of the text in the Bible and want to modify it, modulate it, change it, reduce it in its reality so that they don't have to be convicted by it. It goes back to what is truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's speaking of that in the realm of not just political, not just social and economic, not just in the realm of other thoughts and philosophies, but also in the realm of biblical truth, the centrality of the truth of the Word of God. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Former Senator Jim DeMint, in part, says this, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe multitudes that call themselves Christians today have left the fundamentals of the faith. They have strayed away from the fundamentals of what the Word of God says. And I believe it's time that we understand and recognize a Christless Christianity or progressive Christianity or what is called the emergent church today. I believe it's time that we be in a position to be able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. We live in a society today, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a bifurcation of truth. Truth is truth. Not a nuance of truth is truth. Not a portion of truth is truth. It is all truth. And yet we have those that want to say that each person has their own version of truth. That's the central core problem, as I see it, with what we're talking about today. Each denomination, or some that tout themselves as being non-denominational, let me nip that in the bud right now. No such thing as a non-denominational church. Once there are two that's called non-denominational, you have a denomination of non-denominationals. And yet, there's so many today, well, I go to a non-denominational church. I'm finding more and more the so-called churches today do not even have posted on their website a doctrinal statement, what they believe about the Bible, what they believe about Jesus, what they believe about marriage, what they believe about human sexuality, what do they believe in relationship to what God's Word says being authentic, inspired, infallible, and inerrant. And I could go on and on and on. It goes back to the proper handling of truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that's my challenge. That's my mantra and my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. As Christians, we need to seek the truth. And it doesn't come from denominationalism. It comes from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We need to listen to the truth and learn the truth. Multitudes today will go to a church where the pastor tickles their ears. The Apostle Paul challenged young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and following, challenged young Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, correct, reprove, rebuke. He says, "For a time will come when they'll not endure, put up with, tolerate sound doctrine, but will believe," I'll paraphrase, "will believe in and follow myths, fables, false teachings." And I believe we're at that very point and juncture in Christendom today. And I believe it's time as Christians, true believers, individuals that have said yes to Jesus Christ through faith, the grace of salvation available, we've made a volitional decision to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, that will help you locate, help you find Tools for Time. It's 165-foot flagpole, the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag and the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsforTime.com, ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What is true biblical Christianity? Love to hear from you. Love to hear your succinct one sentence, one statement, one paragraph, if you please. What do you see as true biblical Christianity? What makes up what we call today true biblical Christianity? What are the ingredients? What are the requirements to be called a Christian today? You can look at multitudes and they'll tell you a lot of denominational dogma. You can ask just about anyone, where will you go when you die? And most, it's not funny, but it is a little bit precarious. You can ask most people, when you die, where will you go? Most will answer, heaven. Some will say, I hope heaven. Some will say, heaven, I hope. Some will simply say, yes, I believe I'll go to heaven. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, most cannot tell you why they believe they'll go to heaven. Some say, well, because I believe in the Ten Commandments. Some will believe that it's because they're part of the right denomination. You see, in the realm of Roman Catholicism today, there's the mindset that if you die outside the church, i.e. that religious denomination, you'll die and go to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, is that what the Bible says? Where do these dogmas come from? They're man-made. They're philosophies of man. The ideological bents of man that's been codified and brought into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and called theological doctrinal biblical truths. All we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is look at some of the reports by George Barner in the Barner Report on Churches and Religion. If you've never heard of that, it's B-A-R-N-A, Barner, the Barner Reports. It's the Barner Research Group. They, I believe, now have come under the umbrella of another group, but it's still Barner Reports. But according to the Barner Report, 65% of adults in America claim to be Christian. 65%. Well, it hadn't been, but about 10 or 12 years ago, it was 71%. About 20 years ago, the number was about 90% of American adults that claim to be Christian. But ladies and gentlemen, in the latest survey, only about 21% attend church on a regular basis. And that regular basis, according to the Barn Report, is twice a month. And it's called regular in their research on churches and religion in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of people today that believe that they're going to heaven when they die. Multitudes believe it's because they're a good person. Multitudes believe it's because they've done the right thing as they see it. Multitudes believe they're going to heaven because they're in the right denomination. But there's a major, major, major problem with that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and following. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, that we get our word megas, mega, many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Then the text in Matthew 7, verse 15 goes on. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at the further portion of that text late in the broadcast today. But there's the warning of the broad way that leads to destruction. There's a notification of the narrow way, the straight gate, that leads to eternal life. Multitudes on the broad path going through the broad gate that leads to destruction. 65% of adults, I'm repeating, 65% of adults in America claim to be Christian, but yet only 21%, in fact, I believe that's a high number, only 21% attend church on a regular basis. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. This is telling. According to the Barner Report, only 6%, hear me, now listen, 65% claim they are Christian, but only 6% of adults in America that claim to be Christian hold to a biblical worldview. Now, you might ask the question, what is the biblical worldview? Biblical worldview means that everything we see, everything we look at, everything that we try to fathom is viewed through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? What does God's Word tell us? And out of the 65% that claim they're Christian, with only 21% of that 65% attending twice a month in a church of whatever denomination, and out of that, only 6% of those adults that claim to be Christian hold a biblical worldview. But yet they claim to be a Christian. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Is it possible to be claim to be a Christian and not hold a biblical worldview? Holding a biblical worldview means that we believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Holding a biblical worldview means that we believe that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine, was buried on the third day, rose again, and ascended back into heaven. A biblical worldview means that we look at everything through the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems, as I see it, one of the problems as I identify it, based on some of the major reports by Barner, is the fact that, according to the Barner Report, only 4% of executive pastors hold a biblical worldview. Only 4% of executive pastors hold a biblical worldview. Now listen very carefully. If only 4% of the executive pastor of Solid Biblical Worldview. How can you expect the congregation to any larger extent hold a biblical worldview? So if only 4% of the executive pastors hold a biblical worldview, I think it is not too far a stretch that you have only 6% of the professing Christians in churches that say that they hold a biblical worldview. And further in that Barna report, only 11% of the preaching pastors hold a biblical worldview. Only 13% of the youth pastors hold a biblical worldview. So, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a lack, L-A-C-K, of a biblical worldview, if there's a lack of believing the truth of the Word of God, if there's a deficit in holding the Word of God in high esteem and the recognition, how is it that there's an expectation that the membership will have any greater view of the Bible? Therein lies the problem. Recently, it's come to light that Andy Stanley now has finally broken ranks with what we would call true biblical Christianity. A few years back, Andy Stanley said that we need to jettison the Old Testament. Not long ago, Andy Stanley said that the Ten Commandments are not relevant to Christianity today. And now the latest news is that Andy Stanley is promoting, literally, not just embracing, but promoting the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. Planning a major conference in his church to praise, to recognize, and to embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, that's breaking ranks with anything that's called central biblicist worldview. That's breaking ranks with anything that would be called central Christianity. We're finding that today from the pastors in the churches. And if you want to know my opinion, and that's what it is, an opinion, all of this is as a result of so many pastors feeling that we've got to do something somehow, some way, anything, anyhow, anyway, that will hold the attention of the people to keep the pews full and continue with the numbers, nickels, and noses. I believe that's the rudimentary, fundamental bottom line of what we see taking place. Recently, a prominent pastor said, and I quote, "Churches are capitulating to modern neo-Marxist ideology." Let me read some from that article. Vody Bachman identifies three red flags. Churches are capitulating to modern neo-Marxist ideology. He writes in the article, "The prominent pastor and author has identified three signs a church is abandoning scriptural truth for modern neo-Marxist ideology and a culture where truth is under attack and Christianity is increasingly being marginalized." I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
No, brother, this cancer has been spreading even in the Hispanic community. My wife and I, we were watching some of the news on YouTube. You know, sometimes I watch the news on YouTube because you have control. You don't be fed all the garbage from the media, you know what I mean? And you decide as to what to watch. And I cannot believe there's an emerging movement in South America and Central America. And I saw a church, I believe it was in Central America. There's a church with a bar inside. They sell liquor and everything. And we were like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But it's the same party that you're talking about, Andy Stanley. You got the people in the church that they seen the Bible too stream, you know what I mean? Because they want to have a foot in the world and the other foot in the church. Mm-hmm. And that cannot be so. So they got a mixture of world view because that's what they absorb every day through social media, through, you know, Hollywood, through ungodly music. So when they go into the pulpit, they don't have nothing to offer. So they're trying to fill the space that they have to preach and to feed the flock with what they got in their minds. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you hear somebody like that, that is a lukewarm Christian, they need to come to the cross again, and they need to repent because they are doing a disservice to the body of Christ. That's why it's so important to know what the Bible says. And pray and fast, because there's no, you know, those lukewarm people, they're going to confuse you, because you can quote the Bible. I say, no, this is what the Bible says, and it is written. No, this is what it says. But this generation, sadly, brother, they don't know their Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. They don't have Bible studies. They don't have Sunday schools. Look at the most churches in America. They only got a service on Sunday. So you got the church collecting dust Monday to Saturday, paying for a building to collect dust. In my generation, when I received the Lord, we abused that church. We had service 5 days a week.
That's good.
But let me tell you something. The preacher and the teacher and the pastor taught us what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And you know what the Lord expects for us as Christians. You don't hear that from the pulpit. Everything is good. You can do this. Nobody's going to judge you. You know, who are we to judge? Wait a minute. What the Bible says? I don't care what you says. What the Bible says? Tell me what the Bible says. Very few preachers and pastors are taking that stand and repeat what the Bible says. You know, and my wife met flew, you know, to Puerto Rico, you know, and to visit some of her relatives. And her uncle, that is not a Christian guy, he's a drunk. He's not a Christian. He went out with a lady from a church that has been in church for years, a single lady. My wife was like, what? Don't they know what the Bible says about, you know what I mean, dating an ungodly person? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. But this is the generation, brother, the basis that you and I were raised with. The devil and the lukewarm Christians, they don't have the spiritual guts to name it or to call it for what it is. It's sad to say, brother. You know what I mean? This generation is losing the meaning of being a Christian. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know what the Bible says about some issues. And when you speak about it, they're like, huh? Really? That's why we need to be equipped with the Bible and quote it and tell it, okay, open your Bible. Let's go to this verse and let's go to that verse. You don't see that often, brother. You got just Joe Austin message. You know, it's how to feel good, get the best out of you, and be nice. But the Lord called us to be holy because he is holy. He called Amen. Us to be set apart because he wants us to go to heaven. It's not to be imperfect, just not to participate of the things that the world does. Be set apart, be the difference. But now it's a murky line that you don't know who's a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I've been hanging with people that they say that when they curse like a drinking sailor, and then they say, oh, I go to church, and they name the church. I'm like, But I never tell it to the face, but I'm like, Lord, is this the Christianity that we, the world thing that we all are? And it's sad, brother, but that's the core. Bible teaching on Sunday school is being erased from churches. I don't know what happened, brother. What happened?
That they what is taking place? We have watched the erosion, the apostasy taking place. Mm-hmm. When COVID set in and so many churches shut down, that is the point of demarcation where it started to implode. And today, churches are closing across America. Perhaps you've heard me share the statistics. George Barna said that 1 out of 5 churches would close in America within the next 18 months. That was said almost a year ago. He said we've got 300,000 churches. That means 60,000 churches will close. But yet, Jose, what we find taking place today, multitudes, what I call these pop-up churches, where there's a watered-down, easy believism, goosebump theology that's not biblically based. In fact, looking at this article by Vody Bachman, he highlighted several trends in modern churches that fears the erosion of the foundation of Christianity. Notice now, beginning with the de-emphasis of the Bible, where there's a lack of commitment to systematically teaching and expositorily preaching the Scriptures, end quote. That's just exactly what you said. It's the leaving off of the fundamentals of the faith.
It is exactly what you say, brother. We had a Bible study like 5 years ago, and one sister mentioned, it's okay, I'll tell you later. It's a crazy example of how the worldview is when you compare it to the Bible. I was called to the office because I say a Catholic person that bows down to statues doesn't go to hell, doesn't go to heaven. I was called to the office by a pastor. How about that?
But you were right. Jose, we're up against a hard break for the top of the hour news. Brother, thank you so much for your input and for what you've said. I pray that it's had an impact on our listeners today. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky stops by the White House later today as the Biden administration pushes for more U.S. aid for Ukraine, where the war grinds on. Ukrainian officials report missile strikes from Russia all across Ukraine overnight, saying at least two people were killed, others trapped in the rubble, according to Ukrainian officials. Working into the night, House Republican leaders crafting a stopgap spending bill. It would extend government funding for 1 month beyond the September 30th deadline for a partial government shutdown. The stopgap bill would trim spending by approximately $125 billion, but would not reduce spending on the military, Veterans Affairs, or Homeland Security. The opening bell just sounding on Wall Street now, and the Dow starts off the day down 107 points. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking an imperative question today. What is true biblical Christianity? Is it just going to church? Is it just saying, I believe? In fact, I get a little noisome feeling when I see some bumper stickers that says, I believe. Then they have a lot of signs and symbols and so forth on the sticker. They believe in everything. It goes back to an article that I was reading just before the news. Vody Bachman identifies 3 red flag churches. Red flags, churches are capitulating to modern neo-Marxist ideology. In part, this is what he says. There's not a commitment to systematic expository exposition of the Bible where we hear from the pulpit is rooted and grounded more in psychology and philosophy than in the text of the scripture and in conservative theology. The second red flag involves the church's alignment with post-Christian culture. Bachman noted that some leaders preach messages that resonate with the values and agenda of the secular world, including issues related to CRT and the LGBTQ concerns. He goes further to say, it seems that we're apologizing for the creation myth. We're apologizing for the truth of the gospel. We're apologizing for Christian morality and these sorts of things. these are some of the signs that things have gone very, very wrong in Christendom. And further, in his article, he says, in this post-Christian era, where we're all being sort of painted with the same brush, people who have not relied on the gospel to build solid foundations are seeing their sheep scattered. They're really not legitimate sheep in the first place. They also don't really know how to respond, because the response in many instances has been, no, 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 we're not like them. We're not like them. Of course, they're speaking about conservatives, Bible-believing evangelicals, those people who have always been vilified by the culture at large, end quote. I believe we still have Jose on the line. Jose, what are your thoughts? How do you respond? What is your recommendation to our listeners today?
I think what we talked earlier, brother, read the Bible on your own time. Get to know what the Bible says. And if you got any questions, they can call you or can call anybody that knows the Bible. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to see the ignorance, biblical ignorance that is going on. Not only that, with the adults, with the teenagers and the little kids. And all we do, sadly, is entertainment. Dancing and jumping is okay. Don't get me wrong. That's good. It can be included. But the priority should be to teach them what the Bible says. Because when they grow, well, that's what the Bible says. Instruct the children when they're young. When they become old, they won't depart from it. But I think we're lacking in teaching that. It's sad to say. And I've been, as I early told you, I was called to the office by a pastor because we were in a Bible study like 5-6 years ago. And I mentioned, you know what I mean, that you bow down to statues and you pray to saints, you're not going to make it to heaven. They look at me like, what? I said, wait a minute, that's what the Bible says. John 3:3, mm-hmm. You need to be born again. I was called to the office by that leader, and they told me. And you know what I mean? I said, wait a minute, and what the Bible says? That's what the Bible says. I'm not making anything up. It is right there. But they didn't like it because it's not loving. People might feel offended. Wait a minute. I didn't make this up. It is written in the Bible, but this is the kind of gospel that is in many churches, that whatever you say has to be loving or has to appeal to tickling ears. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel, and it cannot be twisted. It cannot be changed. But that's the problem. People don't want to take the wrath of the lukewarm liberal Christians. Oh, my God, they're going to see me as not loving. Oh, I don't love it. Wait a minute. I didn't write the Bible. Neither you, brother. It is written. It is what it is. And I don't care about the nearly inspired version, the NIV. I don't care what the Bible says. We got to go to the original. That's why you got so many watered-down Bible translations that we have mm-hmm. to be extra careful with that, brother. You got the homosexual Bible now. You got the feminist Bible. You got all kind of crazy things. Let's go back to the original. Let's go back to the 1960 New King James, and don't change it. But you got a group of liberals twisting and changing what the Bible says to make it sound appealing. But it's taking away the essence or what God is trying to tell them, which to me, that's a huge, huge mistake. So we have to be careful as to the message and all those things. We have to be extra careful with that, brother, what we're preaching on, what we're reading. So this generation is clueless as to what the Bible says. And when you quote it, they look at you like, huh? Mm-hmm. Is that what mm-hmm. it says? They have no clue, brother. It is sad to me to hear the people that they call themselves Christians, and they support a lot of crazy things that are against what the Bible says. Remember this guy, Rick Warren, that he wrote yes. a book, and he declared war against poverty, that he was going to end it? Remember that? He made a campaign? Yes. Well, I was praying one day, and the Holy Spirit brought to my mind, on my prayer. He said, wait a minute, nobody's going to end poverty, because I said it, the poor are going to be here to the end of the world. I was like,
that's
whoa.
Right. Right.
And I went to the Bible. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. So I don't care if Rick Warren, Joe Osteen, or whoever said it. If that is not written, that is not biblical, and you have to put that to the side. Pray for them that they can come to the truth. But nobody's going to end poverty because Jesus said it, and I do believe Jesus, brother. But I think the problem is the lack of teaching, and the church needs to go back to the basics. Sunday school, you know what I mean, and Bible study. What is so bad about that? What is it so bad about? I love Bible studies. I love to learn from you. I love to hear somebody that teaches the Bible. But this generation don't want to hear it, brother. That's my point. It's sadly, but it's what's going on. God bless you, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jose, for your input. You're spot on with your observation. One of the major problems we find today, just as you've touched on, we're talking about a love theme that God is love, and he is. But because of that love, he chastens us. Because of his love, he will absolutely judge those that have wrongly understood what salvation is. I'm looking at a headline, allegedly Christian church says God is non-binary, whose pronouns are plural. This article reads, a church in Minnesota recited a sparkle creed about the non-binary God and Jesus, two dads, during its Sunday services, according to the live stream recording on video on YouTube. Quote, I believe in a non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and who had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God, the church recited. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our images of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints, as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling of each of us that love, 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 it is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. Finally says this article, the church's website emphasizes its commitment to combating racism and the embracing of LGBTQ and the non-discrimination of LGBTQ, and confessed to land theft for being located on native land in America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that might sound far out. That might sound weird and a little bit stupefied, but that's exactly what we see taking place today, being espoused from our pulpits across America. It is a false doctrine. It is a false theology. It is a non-Christian. It is a Christless Christianity that we see taking place. I've shared this article before, but Franklin Graham says the eternal peril of progressive Christianity. The article reads, for decades, a war has been raging against biblical Christianity that goes under the seemingly innocent name of progressive Christianity. It has cropped up in the halls of seminaries, infiltrated the pulpits of thousands of denominations and churches. It's been propagated by a godless liberal media. It is bent on casting doubt and undermining the foundational principles of God's Word. Progressive Christianity denies the divinely inspired, authoritative truth of the Word of God as it intersects with every facet of life. He goes further to say, today, the advocates of progressive Christianity deceitfully promote and proclaim what I believe is clearly a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. He goes further. Let me say again, progressive Christianity is not a gospel at all. It is nothing to do with the gospel of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. It results in nothing but spiritual confusion and chaos. Further, Franklin Graham says this. He says, here's the problem. Progressive Christianity denies the divinely inspired, authoritative truth of the Bible as it intersects with everyday living. For example, although scriptures clearly say that marriage is between one man and one woman, proponents of progressive Christianity twist and distort the truth of God's Word on sexuality, focusing on such nonsensical trends as gender identity. They deny God's distinction of sexes. Instead, invent their own misguided standards, unguided by the Word of God. The degrading culture influences that embrace such movements as gay marriages have more sway on the beliefs than does the Bible in most churches. Goes further in one paragraph. When the topic of justice is discussed, progressive Christianity is primarily concerned with issues of social and racial justice. When it comes to the matter of personal sin, progressive Christianity must frequently fail to see the ruinous consequences of mankind's depraved sinful state. Biblical teaching on the precious blood of Christ, the sacrificial substitutionary atonement, and atoning work of Christ's death on the cross is neglected and or distorted. So the real ultimate danger, Franklin Graham says, is that progressive Christianity can and will send a person to hell. I know this sounds harsh, he said, but it's true. To reject the deity of Christ, to deny Christ and doom yourself to an eternity spent in hell. Further, he closes, biblical teaching on the precious blood of Christ, the sacrificial substitutionary atoning work of Christ's death on the cross, is neglected or distorted in progressive Christianity. Do you see how anything other than orthodox biblical Christianity can be so dangerous and deadly? That's why the Apostle Paul called down a curse on those who preach a different gospel than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Graham is speaking of there in that particular statement, he's talking about what is found in Galatians text, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and following. I'll read that for us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and following. Paul says, I marvel that you're also so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. That another comes from the Greek word etros, means a different gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which is preached, we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before and say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received of us, let him be accursed. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful statement in Galatians. The problem at the Galatian church, the church at Galatia, was that they had embraced the truth of the gospel to, quote, be saved, but then embracing another, a different gospel. And Paul says, I'm amazed that so soon after you claim to be saved, that you're following another gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist critical race theory, the LGBTQ agenda, has crept into our churches today, and they're being espoused from our pulpits. Today's Christians, modern, or as Franklin Graham called it, the progressive Christians. The question, this aspect brings out questions and doubt, denial of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I'm looking at another headline, five warning signs of progressive Christianity. In the article it states, it's actually a Christian movement. Former member of the Christian band, Zoe Girl, it is Christ followers who are re-examining, re-identifying, redefining, and often rejecting the core claims of the historic Christian gospel, yet they still identify themselves as being Christian. At the core, progressive Christianity is a different gospel, a different religion. It gives you a different God, a different Jesus. It's not Jesus who can save you, this article states in closing. If you know Scripture, you know why you believe it's the real thing. Then you will spot the counterfeit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God to help guide us through these things. Progressive Christianity isn't just affecting churches. It is infiltrating our schools, our seminaries, our homes, and much, much more, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is ominous to me. We need to understand, and asking the question, we need to identify what is true biblical Christianity. What does the Bible say about true Christianity? Perhaps the most serious issue is that many believe that some denomination will save them. Hosea was saying earlier that because he said something about Catholics worshiping all the idols, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and was reprimanded by the pastor for saying that. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's some belief that somehow, some way, you go through the nuances of the saints, You go through Mary, used to be called Mariology. You go through the wafer that's encapsulated in the Holy Eucharist, and somehow, some way, you believe that's taking on spirituality and divinity and taking on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that you've got to be faithful to the church, the religion, the denomination, that somehow, some way, that's going to get you to heaven, that's a farce. That's phony. That is not real. It's not biblical Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline, massive article. It says, is progressive Christianity really dangerous? Churches that change due to the shifting cultural norms risk losing the truth completely. The first is the Lord view of the Bible, the feelings emphasized more than facts of the scripture. That's what we see majorly today, the feelings being emphasized. The third thing is essential Christian doctrines are open for reinterpretation. The mindset is we don't have to believe what the old theologians said. We don't have to believe what the Greek and Hebrew word studies tell us. We simply can reinterpret the scripture. The fourth major problem, the signs of the difficulty, is the historic terms are redefined. Progressives often are beholden to the ideology of science and the most recent seminaries and sentiments of the age, so they constantly reinterpret the scripture to keep up with Western sensibilities and what the world has to say rather than what the Word says. And finally, we're talking about the progressive Christianity and the danger signals. The other danger signal, the heart of the gospel message, shifts from sin and redemption to social justice. Listen, let me read that again. The heart of the gospel message shifts from sin and redemption to social justice. Social justice is a relatively new term in Christianity or in the churches today. It's not found in the Bible. It's a fine term if it means treating people fairly, fighting racism, standing for life, and the things like that. But often social justice means little more than political ideology that is largely disconnected from biblical truth and is being espoused by multitudes today in the progressive church movement. There's some that believe denominations will save them. Others believe that baptism will save them. Others believe that there's no real concept of biblical Christianity. Just being a good person is all that is necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, what is true biblical Christianity? True biblical Christianity. There are a lot of people that are going to be sadly surprised. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 20 and following, the scripture says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, chapter 7, Matthew, Jesus speaking, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus says, I never knew you. It is the Greek word epigenosis. Jesus says, I never had a personal, first-hand experiential relationship with you. Jesus is saying, you've never been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. And listen, it's people that saying in that day, the day of judgment, they're saying to the Lord Jesus, have not we prophesied in your name? Let me paraphrase that. Have not we spoken in tongues in your name? Have we not leaped over pews in our local church in your name? Have we not had rock and roll music and singing and jerking and dancing in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful signs, miracles, and wonders in your name? Ladies and gentlemen, that proves that a lost person can do all of those things. Jesus didn't address them. Jesus just simply said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Word iniquity there is lawlessness. The word iniquity there can be translated twisted, perverted sin. Jesus says to that person that says, look at all that I've done in your name. Jesus said that's twisted, perverted sin. It is not real. It is not salvation. You've not done these things because you're saved. Michael Youssef, pastor in Atlanta, warning about biblical illiteracy. The Antichrist should have Christians on notice. Yousef says, warning about scriptural ignorance and the eventual rise of the Antichrist, and his comments are certainly stirring. Quote, biblical illiteracy is rampant in America, Yousef told the Christian Post in a recent interview, and people are going to fall for deception, for false teachings, for false theology, for anything, because they're not grounded in the Word of God. Further, he comments about biblical illiteracy, contemporary culture, and the truth are noteworthy. Yousef says, as he addressed in his remarks, an ongoing and troubling trend seen in culture today, quote, a lack of biblical knowledge. Yousef said that the lack of knowledge is fueling some Christians and churches to take on and embrace heretical views based on contemporary issues that are unbiblical. Yousef continued, they say the God of the Old Testament is a God of vengeance, but the God of the New Testament, which is the old first century heresy, is that God is love. This is absolutely false, he says. With some churches departing from biblical truth, Yousef said that something concerning is taking a dramatic play. When the Antichrist comes and deceives the world, we have no discernment because we do not know the words of Jesus. The preacher comments come among ongoing research showing stunningly the low proportion of Americans that have a biblical worldview. The percentage of adults with a biblical worldview has plunged. George Barner, as you recall, I said it's 6%. This writer says it's plunged to just 4%. According to Barner, this writer says, director of the Cultural Research Center, said the results of his American Worldview Inventory reports discovering this minimal percentage is very, very alarming. And he closes with this statement. We're ready to go sit back and think intelligently and strategically about what we're doing in reference to worldview, Barner said. As we look at that, we find its parents are doing next to nothing intentionally. Churches are doing next to nothing intentionally in preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that we're living in a fallen, sinful world. But we're living in a world today where Satan is deceiving multitudes into believing that you're a good person, you believe in love, you say, I believe in the Bible, I believe in Jesus, but yet you know nothing about the Christ of Christianity in the Scripture. Looking at the headline, what is progressive Christianity and is it biblical? I'll just read one brief paragraph. Progressive Christianity is a recent movement in Protestantism that focuses strongly on social justice and environmentalism and the LGBTQ movement, often with a revisionist, non-traditional view of the Scriptures. Since the movement entails a number of different beliefs and views on various topics, it's difficult to label the whole movement decisively. Each claim and belief of the movement should be filtered through the Word of God, yet they do not know the Scripture, and they've rejected the Scripture. There are some aspects of progressive Christianity that contradict any biblical worldview. In general, members of this movement do not ascribe to the biblical doctrine of the inerrancy of Scripture. That's the bottom line. If you take the Scripture and say the error is in the Scripture, if you take the Scripture and say I don't believe in the totality of the Scripture, if you take the Scripture and say I believe in God, believe in Jesus, but yet you reject the scriptural account, you're believing in another, a different gospel. Looking at one headline says, evangelist sounds the alarm on progressive Christianity and its effects on a person. And the bottom line, he says, it's going to send people to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we sit up and take notice and recognize what is taking place in society. We need to search the Scriptures. We need to go back to what the Scripture says in relationship to how a person is blood-bought, Bible-saved, and born again. True biblical Christianity is for a person to repent of sin, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, inviting Christ to say, come into the heart and say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited.